Tonight, we celebrate Halloween with the 2017 horror flick Death House, where several famous horror stars kill each other in a hellish prison and almost nothing can make sense of it. Join us on Scarcely Scary. Hello, everybody. It's Halloween.
Well, it's almost Halloween.
Yeah, it's almost Halloween. I'm Emily.
I'm Joshua.
It's our Halloween episode.
Yeah.
We're celebrating Halloween.
Today, we decided to watch Death House.
Which is actually really cool because we didn't realize it, but this movie has a ton of horror movie stars in it.
Yeah, like a bunch of classic actors.
Classics, and we're going to talk all about them. So exciting. But before all that, we want to mention that on this podcast, we search through modern day horror films in an attempt to find one that's actually scary, because we feel like horror movies just aren't scary anymore.
No, they aren't.
They really aren't. And this one is no exception.
It was fun to watch, but
it
wasn't scary.
Yeah. Maybe that's because we're just old and nothing scares us anymore. We're soulless. Or maybe it's because everything sucks. Or both. Whatever. So, going into this, just know, if you're listening, we're not horror buffs. We don't know anything about horror movies. We don't really know directors, actors, screenplay writers, what goes into making it.
No.
We just like to watch them.
Yeah, we're actually kind of learning as we go along now.
I was thinking that today.
Because we're actually recognizing actors and directors and stuff.
Yeah, and that's really fun.
It's a learning experience.
Yeah, the more you know.
Soon, maybe if we hit like 100 episodes, we'll be like, we know what we're doing.
Yeah. We are horror buffs, so don't fuck with us. Well, no probably not.
Yeah.
There are also, we're going to spoil this one. We spoil all of them. So if you're not into spoilers, turn this off, go watch the movie, and come back. But don't, because this movie,
it's not really worth it.
It's not really worth your time.
Okay, this is the 2017 Death House. I don't know if there's other Death Houses.
Death Homes. From what I read in researching this, no.
Okay.
And we'll go into it. But yeah, this is the 2017 film Death House. It's on Netflix if you want to check it out.
Yeah. It is kind of fun, but it goes nowhere you think it's going to go.
Yeah. Do you want to explain kind of like the short premise?
Yeah. So
give the synopsis.
It's a supermax prison run by the government, and they're doing tests and experiments on murderous inmates.
Yep.
And it's like a 9-level facility.
Mm-hmm.
And each level is supposed to represent a level of Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
It's
a 9-layer burrito.
It's a 9-layer dip. A 9-layer dip full of deliciousness and disappointment.
Oh. Okay.
Because there was so much they could have done with this. It could have gone somewhere phenomenal, but then they decided to make it.
Amazing premise.
Yeah.
Great idea. Execution, not so good.
No, not at all.
I'm going to jump into that right now, and we're going to talk about the cast and director. So this movie is directed by B. Harrison Smith, and he also wrote the screenplay, but the story was actually written by Gunnar Hansen.
Yeah.
And this is our first cameo, is Gunnar Hansen was the original Leatherface.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they worked on it in tandem, but the cast includes Cody Longo and Courtney Palm, and now this is when we get into all the different actors that are in it. So okay. First and foremost, we got to talk about Bill Moseley and Sid Haig. They are both from the Rob Zombie films House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
Which incidentally, we just watched House of a Thousand Corpses for the first time and were really turned on by their acting. And, well, that's a little bit not the right choice of words.
Especially with that movie in mind. Yeah. Saying you're turned on by the film, that's
not the right choice of words.
You need a psychiatrist if the film turns you on.
Absolutely. We really liked Sid Haig, and we were so excited to see that he was in this movie, and Bill Moseley's also in it. Other notable actors are Tony Todd, who was in The Candyman and The Crow, Adrian Barbeau from The Fog, the original Fog in 1980. Well, is that the original? Whatever. The 1980 Fog.
Not to be confused with The Mist.
Yeah. Right. Dee Wallace, who is in Cujo and E.T. Michael Berryman from The Hills Have Eyes and Weird Science.
That's crazy. I went to high school with a kid named Michael Berryman.
Really?
Yeah.
Super big horror actor. And then this one's special just for you. Lloyd Kaufman from Return to Nukem High.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was the surgeon, I think, in this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember, though. Dr. Chalice is his name in this movie, and I don't remember that, so whatever. So, yeah, super star-studded horror cast. Really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, it's like the Expendables of the horror
movie. Yeah.
Except they kind of effed it.
Yeah. I couldn't find a budget, but it was low. Because, or maybe it wasn't that low, but the box office...
I think it was high-ish. I'll disagree with you. Well, the CGI was terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But there was a lot of effort put into blood and gore and makeup.
What's interesting, too, to me is that this movie was made in 2017, released in 2017, but when I think about it, I think it's from, like, 1999. Like, it has that vibe for me.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
Most definitely.
So when you said CGI, I was like, what? And then I remembered. But, yeah, so I couldn't find a budget. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was kind of high. But the box office was only $23,000, almost $24,000. This was a straight-to-DVD video-on-demand movie.
Yes. I'm sure it was.
The runtime is 95 minutes. And I have a fun fact. This is a great fun fact. This movie was supposed to star Robert Englund from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, cool.
But there was some sort of miscommunication and he was never given the script. So
I don't know how you could mess up like that.
I if you want somebody in your movie, you'd think that you give them the script, but I don't know. So moving on, you have some Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes,
to
I do.
To read off to us?
Yes, I have three reviews. I have a one star, a half star, and a three star. Critic review gave them 40%. Audience reviews gave them 40% as well. They're pretty even on this. I'm surprised it got 40%, actually.
That's kind of interesting, yeah. I'm not surprised it got 40%.
Well, I'm surprised because I've seen better movies get like 18%. So
well, that's why Rotten Tomatoes is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, that's why we like to read it. So here we go. I'm going to start with a good review. This is a three-star review by Brandon. Flashes of brilliance littered across a muddled narrative that ultimately feels fully unexplored. Grand ideas with the promise of a deeper universe that is left unfulfilled.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's pretty basic.
Yep.
Pretty basic, covers it all, pretty straightforward, very serious review. Yes.
This one is by Waleed.
Waleed?
Waleed.
How is that spelled?
W-A-L-E-E-D.
Waleed. Okay.
Half star. This is not a movie. This is a joke. Calling it straight-to-DVD quality would be an insult to straight-to-DVD films. If this was a first-year student film, it would get a D. I could tell immediately, this isn't a B movie, it's a Z movie. I wouldn't be able to describe to you what this movie's about. I really don't know.
I mean, it's so true. Josh and I had a conversation before this of like, how the fuck are we going to talk about this movie? Because it's so convoluted and weird. Definitely agree with Waleed there. But unfortunately, it is a movie.
There was another review that I read. I didn't save it. Talk about something that I thought, too, was when you're going to go watch this movie, you have the intention of it being, like, full gore, exploring everything that has to do with Dante's Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
But they mix, like, fake pseudoscience in, like, discussions with fake science facts and whatever about what's going on in, like, half the film.
Yeah, they go over, like, just a bunch of made-up shit on, like, why everything's going on, and there's, like, gratuitous tits because we want to have tits in our movie, and it's like,
yeah,
nothing is actually, yeah, like they said, exploring the film. It's just dumb filler bullshit that doesn't need to be filled.
Exactly. Okay, this is a 1-star review. This one's kind of long.
Okay.
By Zachary.
Okay.
And I liked this review. It's a good one. This movie is kind of amazing in a way. In all my years of watching film, attending school for cinematography, and working on multiple film sets in New York City, I've never seen a film make less sense than this one. You think I'm exaggerating, but I honestly challenge anyone who sees this to try and make heads or tails of the plot. When it's not making absolutely no sense, it's completely contradicting itself over and over again. This director has never been good in any sense of the word, but this is one of only two of his films that is so bad it's funny. The characters are baffling. The cinematography is so dark that half the time you struggle to see what's going on. The set pieces of this supposedly high-tech prison look like abandoned warehouses.
Mm-hmm.
And the editing is at times laugh-out-loud bad. I always try to go into films with an open mind, even if I sort of know what I'm getting myself into. But this movie startled even me with how hilariously bad it is. If you like watching films with your friends and making fun of them, this is definitely one to add to the list. If you're looking for an even remotely satisfying horror movie experience, look somewhere else.
I agree.
True. That's
very long, yes, indeed.
It was long, but true.
It was good.
It was where the heart is.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good for like the first 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it just...
I have a hypothesis about this.
What?
I think that... perhaps, because Gunnar Hansen passed away in 2016 or 2015.
Okay.
So I think that maybe the screenwriter and director maybe took over the rest of the story.
They had full free will to manipulate it because he wasn't alive to hold them to any sort of standard.
Right, because it was his original story.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe they kind of took over and changed it and didn't end up too good.
No.
So we have some statistics here. We go over the jump scares, the deaths, and then we talk about how gory the movie is.
Yeah.
We visit the gorometer.
Yep.
So jump scares, I counted one jump scare.
I didn't even count a single one.
The one that I thought maybe was maybe trying to maybe attempt at a jump scare was the little dude popping out of the garbage can in the beginning at the guard.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that was an attempted jump scare, but it didn't scare me. I was just like, maybe, because I wanted something on there, but...
No, it wasn't very...
No.
No.
Well, and you said you didn't count any jump scares at all.
No, I felt like this movie was more for just gore. I didn't think...
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which...
Yeah.
We gave this movie a gore rating of 90%.
Yeah. Highest ever.
Highest ever. Lots of high numbers this time.
It ticked pretty much all our boxes.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I counted deaths, I counted... how many people I saw die on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Physically die, not dying. I counted 29.
There's way more than that, though.
There's way more than that, but...
This is one of those movies where there's just endless death. You can't even count.
Yeah, people are just getting, like, shot down in large numbers and stuff, but that's just what I was able to count, and I didn't want to stop and count every single person. So that's just what I was able to see.
Yeah. Yeah, so you got 29. I got 13.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between there, probably way higher than that.
Yep.
Okay. So.
I think that's it for all the statistics.
That's right? It, I think. Yeah. All right. So let's get into the plot. We do have a confession to make. We are recording this a week after we watched the movie.
Yeah.
And we didn't care to rewatch it. So we probably are going to suck.
That's fine.
But yeah.
Yeah. Follow along with us as we try to remember.
Yeah.
Be patient, please.
Yeah.
It okay. might be funny.
We'll see.
Okay. Take it away. You start us off.
Okay. So we start off in a desert / like chaparral. Like it looks like the Mojave. With a man carrying a woman bride, kind of bride style. He lays her down next to a grate in the ground, and from the grate we hear, like, men screaming. And he's like, ha ha ha, you don't have to go to that one, I think he says. And she kind of wakes up, and she's, like, crying and stuff, and begging for her life. He starts talking to her about, like, being, like, cutting flowers, and it's like, when is the right time to cut the flower?
Yeah, he used to be a flower gardener.
Right, he used to be a gardener. And while he's doing this, he, like, it's like a magic mirror uterus. He, like, reaches into her, like, abdomen area and pulls out, like, I think it's her uterus or something. It's something he pulls out of there, but it's like a magic mirror. Like, when he pulls out, she's fine.
Yeah.
It's not like he, like, dug in her and, like, broke her skin.
No, his pull-out game is strong.
Okay. Good one.
But he does, I don't know, he's like, when I was farming flowers, you want to know exactly when to pluck them.
You sound like Christopher Walken to me a little bit.
Okay. You want to know when to pluck them. So that...
Can't even do it. I'm not even going to try.
I don't know. It's just nonsense that really, it's a metaphor for something that doesn't have to do anything with this film, I think.
Yeah. And then when he pulls it out, she's like in a trance and she's like no longer afraid. And he's just like, you're going to go to the farm. And then she like crawls into the back of a van and they drive off.
That was a very poor description of the first scene, but we're going to roll
we're going to pull through it.
Because it really doesn't matter.
Spoiler alert, we don't know what that's about. They never explain it. We don't know him. That's the one out of two times that we see him. So you have to make your own assumption about that.
Yes. Okay, so now we come to a scene where we have our protagonist, Agent Boone. Is a female agent, works for the government.
Yeah.
She is sitting in an SUV, and as she's just sitting there with her eyes closed, kind of relaxing, a prisoner is being brought into the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And this prisoner, his name is Sieg.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see him a little later.
Yeah.
But
we'll see you later, Sieg.
He walks up, and he starts talking to her, and they're just babbling on about some... You're the one who got me locked in here.
Yeah, he's, like, blaming her or something.
And she's like, good, you're filth anyways. And then he says, I'm gonna fuck you in hell.
Yeah.
And then he gets taken into the prison.
Gonna fuck you in hell.
And that's kind of the intro to Agent Boone and Sieg.
Yeah. So then we see that Agent Boone is now being escorted by guards through... I mean, we assume it's a prison. But it's kind of, like, all decked out with, like, technology.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
High-tech prison.
High-tech prison. Looks like Alcatraz. We might have already said that earlier. They come into a room where it's, like, TVs and buttons.
Yeah.
It's the tech room, I guess. Like
it's like the high security room or something.
Yeah. So a man comes in. He introduces himself as Victor. We never see him again. And then two more characters. We have Dr. Fletcher and Dr. Novak come in. And
Not Dr. Novak. He's another agent.
Oh, sorry. Agent Novak. Fuck. I wrote down Dr. Pleh. Okay. Agent Novak comes in. So, yeah. He's, like, the equal... He's equal to Agent Boone.
Yeah.
But I guess because he's a man, he, like, won't shake her hand or something.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick to her.
Yeah.
But he shakes the Dr. Fletcher's hand, and she's a lady.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh my god, I'm gonna damage you, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's kind of simping for her. and it's crazy, too, because Boone is obviously, like, very reputable. Like, everybody's kind of being, like, super welcoming to her, and, like, we are so proud of you. Except for Dr. Fletcher and Novak. They're treating her, like, really shitty. It's weird. Yeah. Okay. So then after this, Victor takes Boone into a room.
So Victor takes her to this random-ass room and says, honor's orders. She's like, what is this? And he says, honor's orders. So then she starts walking into the room, and it's like a...
It's like an empty room that has, like... little bits of furniture scattered around. Like, it looks like a set. It doesn't look like a home.
Yeah.
But it's set up to look like it's supposed to be a home, but it's not.
Yeah, it looks like a living room and a bedroom in one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird, kind of ish. But it's also the way that the cinematography is, it's supposed to look like she's in a...
like she's in a TV, like an older...
what do you call it? We're all in
a simulation.
A simulation.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
It looks like a simulation kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then while she's in there, she's like looking around all weird.
Yeah.
And she sees an old lady in a bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sees...
Danny Trejo comes walking in.
Danny
Trejo walks in from a mysterious door that appears.
Yep.
And
he's wearing an orange jumpsuit, like he's a prisoner there.
Well, it's red.
It's red, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, it's red. And then he walks up, he gets on top of the old lady, and she's struggling and fighting, and he's yelling at her.
Oh, and he has, like, this really weird weapon that looks like...
it looks like a baseball bat was sawn in half, and it has saw blades nailed to it.
So that it looks like a mace.
Yeah, it's like a saw blade mace on half of a baseball bat.
It's very interesting.
Yes. He kills the old lady.
And then Agent Boone pulls out her gun and kills Danny Trejo.
Yep, she just starts shooting the shit out of him.
Well, she shoots him like once or twice. He goes down and then...
oh, he says, release
freedom
us.
Freedom or something.
Or, yeah, release them or something.
Release them, free them, whatever. He says free them. I quoted it.
I quoted release them.
Uh-oh. Ooh. Okay.
The origin of misinformation.
Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo.
Oh no, don't put that on Danny. He didn't do nothing.
Well, he actually killed the old lady.
He did. Yeah, okay.
But
you're right. But then after he died, like after he's like freedom or release him, whatever he says, Boone like just goes ham and like unloads the clip on him, screaming. Like, she's got a personal problem with this guy.
Yeah, and we don't know what the hell it's about.
Yeah, we find it out in a minute.
Yeah. So then she leaves. That's it.
And then we shoot to a scene where we have Dr. Fletcher and Agent Novak, and they're discussing... okay, so they're talking about what all of this is.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And, like, so basically...
It's a
Supermax prison. Oh, wait. We get that to that later.
No.
Well, no. Okay, hold on. Let me explain. It's a Supermax prison where they have all these terrible, terrible murderers and criminals. For it, like, the example that they show in this scene in particular is Leather Lace, which is, like, the female Leatherface, which is kind of, like, I guess... Gunnar Hansen's ode to Leatherface.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be it. But basically, they have, like, videos of her, like, sawing people in half, and they say that they show... she's... okay, so the woman who's Leatherlace, they are right now, at this very moment, showing her those clips through a VR headset. Meanwhile, her father's voice is being fed into her ears. So so she's watching the video and hearing her father.
And she's in like a chamber with the gas
that
is making her feel sick.
Yeah, there's like
Yeah, it's like a gas chamber, and
they're trying to clockwork orange her into not liking the killings that she's done.
And they even said that they're even like, so it's like clockwork orange. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yes, exactly.
And then Dr. Fletcher describes milk of amnesia, which is the gas, I guess, or the whatever drug that they give them, but it.
Makes them forget.
It makes them forget everything that's going on so that they can, like, give them new memories, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Fletcher says that she has been in that chamber watching that video, listening to that voice for 200 days.
Yes.
By the way, I noticed this little cameo, too, is that Leather Lace's father, because they have, like, the hologram of him. Hologram? Holograph. Holograph of him. Leatherlace's father is Gunnar Hansen.
Oh.
So that's kind of a cute little thing.
Yeah. And it's hologram, by the way. Holograph. It's like holographic cards. Like the...
Hologram. Hologram. Yeah. And to finish it off, Dr. Fletcher says, our goal is to eradicate evil.
Okay, so now it goes to Boone entering like a big old room. And she meets back up with Fletcher and Novak. And they... run into Dr. Redmayne, mm-hmm. another lady doctor. And she goes through and she says, okay, so, this is what we really do here. Look at all these people, they're sedated.
Mm-hmm.
There's like hospital beds with like 20, 30 people in them, mm-hmm. all prisoners. They're sedated, she says. We have them on barbiturates, LSD, and amphetamine. So she's like the real doctor of the whole thing. Fletcher's, she works on the torturing she's like, the prisoners in a way.
I don't even know what she does. Maybe she's just like an overseer.
Yeah, something.
I don't know if she has like an actual job.
They both just worked on
she
it.
Just walked in and they were like, okay, you look cool with your hair.
And she says that mental sickness spreads through writing and social media. So we need to eradicate all of that sort of thing. So it's kind of almost like creating a utopia in this prison.
They're trying to like make it so these prisoners can go back out into the world and not even remember that they were killers.
Yeah.
And like try to pull out that urge to kill out of them and then just make them think that they're just normal people.
Uh-huh.
So after this, Boone and Novak are taken into a room where they put on a VR headset. And so this is where we get the breakdown of what's going on. Okay, there's a voiceover that explains... Okay, so this is a 9-story, I believe. Well, maybe not stories, but it's 9-level. 9-level maximum security prison that tests and challenges psychological, parapsychological tendencies of the inmates.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
The 9 layers of hell, and each layer is supposed to get progressively worse all the way to the bottom, where they have the worst criminals.
Yeah, so it's like, the bottom is like these, they call them the 5 evils. So the voiceover then goes on to describe Boone and Novak, and it shows them like what situation they were in to get into the program.
Yeah.
So like, this is where we learn why Boone and Sieg are related, because Boone in a simulation killed Sieg.
No, she shot him in the leg. She killed a mother and child.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right. She was helping Sieg. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Okay. She shot Sieg in the leg, but he's obviously alive. And then Novak was in a situation where he, like, was with a terror group. And he, like, sawed somebody's head off. Yeah. So we see that happen.
Yep.
Okay, so then after that, the voiceover talks about the 5 inmates that are at the bottom of the prison.
Yeah.
And all of them have, like, an undetermined amount of victims, an undetermined amount of crimes, I guess, they've committed. They're all very... like heinous crimes.
Yeah.
Like one guy killed like 700 children or something.
One, yeah.
And was like a necromancer or whatever. Like,
yeah, one dude was a cultist.
Mm-hmm. Another girl would like cut people open and like bathe in their blood. So it's just the five people. It doesn't really matter what each one of them did because we don't really matter to the movie. Just gonna say it. They don't really matter. So then after that, it's like time for them to go into their next simulation kind of thing. But Boone's doesn't work. So then it's just Novak that goes into his simulation, and he's popped into a, like, the same kind of desert area.
Yeah. Simulation room with our buddy.
Our good old pal, Sid Haig. Sid Haig.
Sid Haig?
Sid Haig, also known as Captain Spaulding from
House of a Thousand Corpses.
And Devil's Rejects as well.
Yes.
So yeah, he's there. He's this little cameo dude. He's sitting in a lawn chair.
He's got two naked people sitting in front of him.
Yep.
A guy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he has their arms tied behind their back.
Oh yeah, and they're like crying and like they don't want to.
Yeah.
So this is such a weird scene because like nothing really happens. Sid Haig is just talking to Novak, being like philosophical about life. And then he like takes icicles out of an ice chest and like stabs the two naked people. And then Novak is like teleported out of the place.
Yep. He has a philosophical conversation about whether or not the spirit exists in the human being.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't really listening and I don't remember. So yeah, they're out of it. Boone and Novak remove their headsets.
So then it just cuts outside. There's a patrolman. He's a security dude. He's just walking the perimeter of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees a bloody rag on the fence. And then he hears noises in the garbage can. He's like, oh shit, is it a raccoon? Goes through the fence. Goes to the garbage can to make sure that there's no raccoons in there. And there's like a child in a SS outfit, like a, it's like a Nazi outfit.
It's either like a little kid or like a little person.
I think it's a little kid.
I think it is a little kid.
And he jumps out and he just starts stabbing up this security guard.
This is when I thought that there might have been a jump scare.
But it's not like in a jump scare manner.
No.
So then he starts gutting him open. Stabbing at his stomach, and he pulls out his intestines.
Yeah.
And he puts some sort of a mechanism inside of his belly, and then he puts his intestines back in on top of it. Then he just runs off, and the dude's laying there dying, calling for help on his radio.
Yeah. We cut back inside, and Novak and Boone are showering together in a co-ed shower.
Yeah. Of course. Any excuse to show titties in this
movie. Yeah. Oh, my God. Any excuse to show titties. You want titties? Watch this movie because they're there. Titties all and, kinds. All titties kinds
and
of
gore.
Titties.
Titties and gore.
Titties and gore as well as hot 90s and 80s horror movie actors.
Yeah, so it's not like even like they're trying to hide it either in the shower. Like have it be like, oh, they're just showering together and we're paying attention to the conversation.
No.
No, because the camera is panning up and down her body like these are her titties.
Look at her titties.
Look at her titties.
So they're having a conversation. Boone, we find out in this conversation that Boone actually. So when she killed Danny Trejo, that was the guy who like killed her mom.
Yeah. So they gave her a chance to kill the killer.
Yeah. She got like a revenge.
Yeah.
And that was like the honors orders. It was like she got to choose what scenario she wanted to do, which is kind of sick if you're asking me.
Yeah.
But then Boone and Novak go on to discuss their tattoos, and they note that they don't remember getting them.
Yeah.
And they also don't remember like any friends that they had in the past or anything. So right now this movie's wrapped up. We already know they're part of the system too.
Yeah, they don't
already know.
They didn't hint very well towards maybe it's a possibility. It's like,
no.
I don't remember my tattoos. I don't even remember coming here. It's like, well, yeah, you're part of the fucking system. You're
fucking part of the system, dude. They
brainwashed you and put in new memories for you. Yeah.
Welcome. Not, it's too easy.
Yeah.
So then they meet up with a hologram version of Redmayne, who then instantly turns into the real version of Redmayne. I guess she's like, it's so nice being an avatar. I guess that means she can go in between. I don't know. But they talk about, they philosophize, is that right?
They're out of the shower, though.
Oh, they're out of the shower. Right. Yeah, Redmayne doesn't just pop in. No, they're out of the shower. They're going to the next stage.
They're going to see part of the mind erase. It has C in a huge chair with, like, equipment.
He's got shit all hooked up on him.
Yeah.
But they're having, like, a philosophical conversation about good versus evil that, like, we all had in high school.
Yeah.
It's, when we watch, or when we read Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, it's, what is good? What is bad? Who are you to say what is good?
Right.
Novak and Redmayne kind of leave the room.
All right, well, Boone too, right?
No.
Oh.
Because Boone lifts up the...
Oh, that's all right.
The whole thing on Sieg. And she looks at him, gets really close to his face, and kisses him on the lips.
Yeah.
Like, what is that about? What I'm thinking is that Boone was in the Aryan Brotherhood with Sieg, and that was just her actually doing her thing and had a romantic relationship with him.
That's a good thought. I didn't think about it that way.
After this, it flashes to the surgery room, and the doctor's poking at the security guard's guts who was cut open,
mm-hmm.
and he had the thing planted in him. And the doctor's like, what the fuck happened here? What the fuck is this mess? And he's kind of being a goofy-ass doctor.
Yeah.
He's like fingering at his intestines, and he's like, who the fuck would do this? This is fucking weird. And then that's it, and then it flashes out.
Yeah, we consistently have flashes between scenes of the hospital room with the guard in it.
Yeah.
It is important. That is important to the story.
Yes.
So then they go into a room where there's like...
Shows them another set of 50, doctors and a bunch of workers.
Well, there's like 50 women all standing around. Like they're in... Okay. So basically, this whole scene is describing who these people are. These yeah. random people. Okay. So what they are is they're homeless people that look like the victims of the killers that are in the prison.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a therapy that they're trying to do where they will put one of the people they killed in the cell with them to try to get them to feel remorse for who they killed.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work out, and oftentimes the killers just end up killing the person again anyways.
Yeah. And they're like, they also have the milk of amnesia, so they like don't know what the fuck is going on.
They put the memories of the victims in their head. Which, how would they yeah. have the memories of the victim?
Oh my god.
True. So this homeless that. Person has their brain wiped.
True.
Another that. Person's memories put into their head.
What?
And then they react to the killer the same way the victim reacts to the killer.
I didn't think about that. That's crazy.
So like we That's were saying so true. Before.
That makes no sense.
The movie's just filled with pseudoscience crap.
Yeah. It doesn't
really add up. Or
Nothing
make sense.
Makes sense or adds up. That's right. But yeah, see, this is another part too where it's like any excuse to show titties because they're like talking about the women and they're like, we categorize them by breast size. And then she like rips off two of the woman's boobs.
Not boobs.
Sorry.
Doesn't rip off the boobs.
That's not what I meant to say. She rips off the, she rips off the covering of yeah. the boobs so that you see the boobs. But these women don't even have similar boobs. They're different. So I don't know what she means by they have similar breasts.
She's saying they do plastic surgery. We can make the homeless person look identical to the victim. Look, ripped off shirt. Look at their titties.
Yeah.
Their titties look just like their victims do.
Yeah.
It's like...
yeah.
Just an excuse.
It's just an excuse to show titties.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, the scene didn't matter.
So they're just explaining, like, that everything you've seen in these... rooms so far, like Danny Trejo killing her mom. The mom lady was just a homeless person.
Yeah, yeah. That they that decided was, that they put to in the let bed him kill.
To let him murder.
So fucked up. So then we move into a different room, and Redmayne is there. She's like, we have the three Satans. And at this part, I'm getting really tired of these fucking numbers. It's like the five evils, the three Satans, the ninth level. It's like, shut. What is this? Why is everything about numbers? Okay?
So
the three Satans, whatever.
One of these guys thinks he is Satan. One of these guys thinks he created Satan. And one of these guys thinks he is Satan's son. And she thought that if we put them all in a room together, they'll cancel each other out because they'll come to realize, oh shit, maybe it's crazy. But no, they're still batshit crazy.
Yeah. The guy who thinks he's Satan's son is talking to Redmayne about, like, you took my mask. You took my mask from me. Where's my mask? Like, he's got some infatuation with some shitty Michaels brand plastic mask that they, like, stuck some Velcro on or something.
You can get it at Spirit for a dollar.
Yeah, and then they, like, painted something on it, but it doesn't align. I don't know. Whatever.
It's not scary.
No. And it's not what it's they purple. The damn thing is purple.
Yeah, they don't. They build it up way.
It's a purple mask. You know who wears a purple mask? Barney. How is anybody afraid of that?
I suppose. But it's not a dinosaur mask.
It's not a dinosaur mask. But it's purple. Flying purple people eater.
So he's
Halloween.
It's just like.
The only one who matters is Satan's son.
It's a 10-minute scene of them talking about nothing.
So yeah. So Satan's son eventually gets out of his restraints and lunges at Redmayne. Bunch of guards come in. They get him off of her. They take her away. And now Boone, Novak, and Dr. Fletcher are going down to the ninth level.
Yeah, they just shoot straight from 1 to 9.
I guess so that they can go meet the five?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they want to go meet the five and show them what's up down there. And partway down, about halfway down, it flashes to the surgery room.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude, the doctor, digs into the guts and he pulls out the little mechanism device that the kid shoved in there.
Mm-hmm.
And when he pulls it out, it immediately goes off. And it's like an EMP,
mm-hmm.
an electromagnetic pulse, which is designed to shut down anything powered by electricity. So the EMP goes off, and it shuts down the whole facility. But this thing is only the size of, like, a hockey puck.
It's really tiny. It's, like, a little... It's smaller than, like, a cue ball, even.
You'd think it would only, like, shut down the doctor's office room, maybe. Like,
yeah.
It wouldn't shut down the whole fucking facility.
No, it shuts everything down. Fletcher... Okay, so now they're stuck in the elevator. And Fletcher says... Oh, it's okay. We have a 60-minute backup energy. And then if the power is not restored by 60 minutes, then we release a poisonous gas and it kills everybody.
Yeah, because you got to kill all these inmates. Can't have them all running around like crazy.
Right. Fletcher's like, but it won't kill the five evils.
Yeah.
It's like...
And they're like, well, what's wrong? Does the gas not get all the way down there? And she's like, no, it gets down there.
And she doesn't explain any further.
Yeah. Okay, so then it cuts straight into an hour passes, and they're just stuck in the elevator, and you can hear all the inmates screaming and going crazy,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's expecting the gas to go off, but mm-hmm. the gas doesn't go off. The cell doors all open up.
Because they're in it.
It's inferred.
They're, like, walking through the halls, 60 minutes goes off, and they're, like, dressed up in riot gear. And they're like, where's the gas? And
it's like, these are just security guards, not Boone and Fletcher.
No. Yeah, they're still in the elevator. These are just random guards. So they were expecting the gas to come, and it's not like they had gas masks on or anything.
No, they're prepared to all die.
Yeah. So probably just comes with signing the paperwork to get into the job.
Yeah.
You could die any day. Imagine working at that kind of job and being like, you know, like, oh, I don't want to go in today. I want to call off sick. Uh-huh. And then later you hear that the prison,
everyone died.
The energy shut off and the gas went off. So then everybody died and you're like, whoa.
Nice.
Fucking died. Oh, we also see like a little thing where some guards are supposed to be transferring Sieg from that like thing that he was hooked up to back into his cell.
Yeah.
And they like stick him with like some like
it's like they handcuff him, and the handcuffs have fish hooks to keep his hands down by his sides.
Yeah.
Or in his stomach.
Were there, like, electric fish hooks or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
For their safety, I guess. They
hook him. They hook him, but then when they get him into the cell, instead of just closing the door and leaving, they decide to, like, kind of stand there and, I guess, I think that they're, like, fucking with him. Like, they're kind of being mean, like, saying mean things to him.
Yeah.
And he, like, somehow, like, rips out the hooks out of himself and, like, impeccable aim, shoots them directly into the eyes of the guards.
Well, the hooks are still in him, but the cuffs have, like, two other hooks in them. And he, like, somehow aims those hooks.
I thought it was the hooks that were in him.
Because he still has them in him.
Okay.
Because that comes later.
Well, whatever. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember now. Yeah. So then they die, I guess?
They get shot in the eye with the hooks, and I guess getting hit with the hook in the eye will kill you instantly.
Yeah. That's why I think it's, like, electrocuted or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. So after that, Sieg walks out, and he gets the attention of all the prisoners, who are, by the way, all out of their cells now.
Yeah, they're all going fucking nuts.
They're killing guards. They're climbing on shit. They're trying to figure their out. How to get, and this is where Josh got, like, his big old death count, is because in this, like, 5-10 minutes, there's just guards dying all over the place.
It starts with inmates dying, because the guards are unloading into them with machine guns.
Yeah.
And then once the inmates kind of overpower the guards, then they start beating the shit out of the guards.
Sieg gets up, he pulls the attention of all the prisoners, and he's like, hear me, I guess.
Or yeah, he's like, hey, listen to me.
Yeah, but then he's like shot through the chest.
Yeah, inmate dude shoots him through the chest. They're like, fuck you, I'm not listening to you.
Yeah, and he falls over the balcony.
Yeah.
And then the biggest, baddest guy in the prison comes out of the woodwork with his henchman, his 666 henchman.
Yeah, his little bitch lackey.
He's got like 666 tattooed on his forehead. Yeah, he really is a bitch lackey. And he's, like, sees Sieg laying there on the ground and notices, like, a chain coming out of his stomach.
Yeah, it's the hooks.
It's the hooks. And he just, like, rips it out.
And it pulls out, like, his intestines and everything.
Yeah, like, all of his intestines.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, starts to walk away.
And everyone's, like, cheering, like, yeah, you killed him.
Yeah.
Good job. And then Sieg just stands up.
Yeah. He gets up like nothing happened, and
his
he's
stomach's repaired, his chest is repaired, everything's fine,
and he's like, so does anybody else want to try? And I remember this part.
I like the way he said that. It's like, so then he says, does anyone else want to try?
He doesn't, no, he's not like, he's like,
does anyone else want to try?
He's not like that. Not he's really straight like up like, so who's next?
Yeah.
No. But,
so who's next?
So get in line, guys. No. It's funny now because when we were watching this, we literally were like, whoa. What the fuck did we miss?
Yeah.
Wait, did he die? Was that him that got his intestines ripped out? Wait,
did he get shot?
Did he get shot? We had to go back and rewatch this scene. Because he literally just stands up and is like, okay. He's not in pain at all. So we're like, okay, I guess he's invincible.
Yeah.
And then the 666 friend, bitch henchman, or henchman bitch, whatever he said, he's like, I'll follow you to hell. And then he's like, that's exactly where I'm going. So I guess...
So then they have to go... He wants to go and take the whole group of inmates down to the 9th level.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says that's the only way they can be freed.
Yeah.
So now it's him and the group of evil headed on down. But the elevator's broken. There's no stairs because it's a mile down.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to, like, go down the elevator shaft, I guess.
But they're not going down the elevator shaft. They're like,
we don't actually see them.
They're not going down the elevator shaft.
We don't know how they get down.
We don't know how they get there. Yeah, because there's no stairs.
Uh-huh.
So I have no fucking clue how they do it, but they do it. Okay, so then we go back to Boone, Novak, and Fletcher. They're crawling out of the elevator. We can hear the sounds of the prisoners escaping. They're walking through the hallway, and Novak is going first. They got their guns out, and then a prisoner, like, pops out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he's like, here's Johnny, which is actually, you know, I like that. That's nice.
It's a nice
one. That's a nice little nod. But it's funny because they're fighting and he's like, I'm going to fuck you. And like, he keeps saying like, the harder you fight, the harder I get.
Yeah.
Get over here so I can fuck you. Like, he's...
Come here, you little bitch. And Novak's like, oh shit, this isn't good.
This guy really wants to have sex with him.
Yeah.
Probably because he hasn't had sex in a while.
And he might be gay.
Yeah, that's fine. But eventually Novak wins the fight. And I guess he, like, what does he do? Pushes him down a elevator shaft or something?
Yeah, he shoves him down the shaft. Okay. And then he falls a mile to his death.
Yeah.
I guess.
Which I guess. Cool. Yeah, that's fine.
We don't see him die. We just assume he died after falling.
Yeah, that's true.
Like 3,000 feet.
Yeah.
So then they start investigating this hall.
Yeah.
They start investigating the fourth floor to see if there's survivors or if there's any way out from there.
Well, this part's funny too because like this room is like covered in blood that they're in. What is it? It's like a something's being carried upstairs. Being dragged upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, it's supposed to be like a body.
And there's a bloody, like, rubber doll being pulled up the stairs.
It's supposed to look like a human.
Yeah.
But it's like, literally looks like a blow-up doll just being, like, pulled up the stairs.
Uh-huh.
And so that's funny. And then they're walking through, and then there's, like, all these limbs and intestines and bones and shit all over the place. There's a woman eating a body. So then they duck out of that room and into another where they decide to hide. And there's, okay. Now this scene is weird.
Yeah.
Because the people that are in this room are like sticky zombie mutants.
Yeah. They're alive.
They're alive. They're
but they're not alive.
They're hanging out.
It's like their skin is off. Their faces are peeled.
And then they have, like, sharp teeth.
They have sharp, weird teeth.
They're
covered in yellow ick.
It's, like, yellow and brown. It's really gross.
And this lady zombie has a microphone.
In which she's whispering, like, we no longer wish to be free. Yeah, and then he goes,
yeah, we no longer want to be freed.
We no longer want to be freed. Like, it's over and over again. I don't know.
And then one of them gives birth to a mutant zombie baby.
And then eats it.
And then eats it. And it's just like this weird fucking thing going on.
It's so weird. And it's kind of scary. Like, it's not scary. It's just kind of eerie and gross. And then Dr. Fletch is like, yeah, we'll wait here until morning.
They won't hurt us. We'll just wait here.
So we shoot to Sieg and friends. They're searching for Dr. Redmayne, who they find crouching in the corner. Sieg's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you or something.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fucking kill you.
He takes her to Satan. Okay, so the son of Satan. He takes her to the son of Satan's cell. Son of Satan's cell. That's fun. To say. Anyway, they're like, give him his mask, Dr. Redmayne. And she's like, okay. And then procures the mask, gives it to Satan's son. He puts it on. Again, it's fucking purple and pink or something.
It's not scary at all.
Not scary. And then I guess they, like, sick the other Satans on Redmayne. And they, like, close the door. So, like, the creator of Satan and Satan himself get to, like, I don't know, be in the room with her. I'm assuming they fuck her up.
Yeah, they probably kill her.
But that's the last we see of her. Yeah. And they never mention her again.
We can infer that she died.
Yeah, we can.
So, after this, it cuts back to Boone, Novak, and Fletcher sitting in that zombie room still.
I called it the mutant hole.
The mutant hole?
Mm-hmm.
More like a suck hole. Sorry. Because this whole movie sucks.
Oh. It's like, yeah, what are you referencing? What is that?
So,
more like a suck hole.
More like a, yeah. So.
Okay.
So then they're like staring at these things.
Yeah.
And they're like, nope, fuck it, we're out of here.
Yeah. They're like, maybe we should leave.
Maybe we should leave. So then they go to a room with a bunch of... Is this where they get to the hanging body?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so they get to a room with all these hanging bodies, and Dr. Fletcher says...
This is
homeless people storage.
Real quick, this is where the movie fucking takes a turn. From here on out, nothing makes sense.
No, because,
it's all wild.
Up to this point, we actually enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
We're talking a lot of shit about it right now because the end was just so...
It was so bad.
Bad.
And we talked about it a little bit, and I think, because, like we said earlier, this is Gunnar Hansen's story that was adapted by the director, B. Harrison Smith, who also wrote the screenplay. So I think that B. Harrison Smith might have taken some liberties.
Yes.
That maybe they shouldn't have. Just gonna throw that out there. Because this movie, it's fucking...
jumps the rails from here.
There's one vital question that I'm about to ask after Josh explains the rest of the scene. That just, this was the first question of many. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so, starts off. They walk into this room. There's all these bodies hanging by their feet, wrapped in plastic. Mm-hmm. And she said, this is where we store the homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why?
Mm-hmm.
First off. And then she starts talking about, like, what the gas does to the people once. If the gas actually gets set off, she says it's a bacteria that eats the body. And that's it. And then...
So it's a bacteria gas.
It's a bacteria gas. That
eats the bodies alive.
Yeah, that eats them alive.
Oh, it shuts down the immune system so that the body's bacteria...
Eats itself.
It shuts down the body. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Bad. No.
Then, as she's sitting there talking to them about this gas that's supposed to go, you can hear Sieg and all the inmates with all their torches and pitchforks and screaming and yelling. They're walking in. And they have two doctors. We don't know these doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to hang them up.
They, like, shove meat hooks in their body.
Yeah. But then, while they're doing all of this, they're doing it in the room where these three protagonists were. So they had to find a quick place to hide.
Wait. Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
How high are the bodies off the floor?
Bodies are, like, 20 feet off the floor.
20 feet, right? Yeah, okay.
So the bodies are, like, 20 feet off the floor. They have to find a... like, where to hide while this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they're automatically... they're holding on to the bodies.
How did they get up
there? In homeless storage. How did they get up there? I don't know.
It's 20 feet. It's literally 20, 30 feet off the ground.
And they're just up there.
And we don't get to see... they didn't climb a ladder.
No.
They're just up there, hugging the bodies.
Yep.
Okay.
Fine. And they manage to get up and hide...
Fletcher is having a hard time holding on to one of the bodies.
Yeah.
So Novak tries to, like, reach out for a hand, which, I'm sorry, how is that going to do anything for her? But he, like, reaches out his hand and somebody sees it and, like, shoots at it. Novak pulls his hand back and so the bullet hits Fletcher's hand and she falls to her death
because... not quite dead yet.
She's not quite dead, but she does fall to her death. Because she fucking got shot in the hand. And she's also 20-some feet off the floor hitting concrete. Like,
yeah.
She dies eventually. And then Sieg... this part's so weird because they're like... Sieg's like, oh, another white coat. And then they're like, what should we do with her? And what should we do with her, master? And Sieg says, nothing. Let's leave.
Yep.
And they...
they just fucking leave.
They're not even like, maybe we should search the rest of the... No. Let's get out of here, guys.
Let's move, gang.
Yeah.
And then he yells, freedom! And they're all like, ah! And then they head out, and they're starting to... they start their descend again, trying to get down to floor level 9.
Yep. So then Novak and Boone jump off of the...
Bodies. Yeah.
Land on their feet.
They're fine.
And they run over to, Dr. Fletcher, are you okay?
She's like, I'm not gonna make it, boys. Tell my mother I love her.
Almost. Almost. Not quite.
And then they're like, how do we turn on the gas?
Yeah.
What do we do? And then she says, I will. And then dies.
Yeah. So that's the end of Dr. Fletcher. And so then Boone and Novak are alone. Okay. Do you want to explain this scene or should I?
Okay. I got it.
Okay.
So, this ridiculous ass scene.
This like, is, this.
Looks like we gotta go down. So then they.
I have to get myself mentally prepared for this.
They take off their jackets, because they're wearing like agent jackets still.
Agent jackets.
They have undershirts on and whatever. And they wrap the jacket around their hand, and they grab the elevator wires. Because they're going to slide...
all the way down.
Half a mile down on elevator wire. And then they're like, okay, are you ready for this? Get your gun ready. So then they pull out their guns in a building that supposedly has only 4 levels, right?
9.
They're on level 4.
They're on level 4.
It has 9 levels. They're halfway down. They start sliding down, shooting their gun.
Randomly.
In the elevator shaft. With the CGI makes it look like there's cells with prisoners in them.
Yeah.
But if it's a 9-level complex, why are there jail cells and floors all the way down? And why are they randomly wasting their ammo into inmates that aren't going to do anything?
They're shooting so wild. Like, no. Okay. No aiming.
There's because no
they're
aiming.
Going. Okay, the movie makes it look like they're going like 60 miles an hour, 60, 70 miles an hour down these wires.
Yep.
They're shooting wildly into the fucking sides of the elevators.
They have infinite ammo.
Infinite ammo. Okay, these are. Okay. They're pistols.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 6 or 8 rounds, right?
Can be like maybe 12.
Maybe 12. Yeah. There was more than 24 rounds being shot.
Yes.
Just saying. And then there's, okay, so then like they get shot. They okay, fuck. I have to wrap my head around this. They're killing inmates as they're going down.
Uh-huh.
Because you see inmates like falling and like, die like being shot, and meanwhile there's like some hard rock metal music playing.
Yeah,
it's in like, the background.
It's like he tried to do some cool underworld stunt in his movie, or like you know, Matrix.
Yeah, I was thinking Underworld too.
Underworld.
I was thinking Underworld Beyond as well. Flux.
He's trying to do one of these cool early 2000s movie scenes in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's no rhyme or reason to it.
It's so 2000 and late.
So anyway, guys, we're sorry. This review's bad. Everything's bad about this.
We're literally almost done. I'm on my last page. Okay, so yeah, that scene happens for some fucking reason. She gets... okay, so they get down.
They don't even have any other ammo clips or anything on their hips or their... whatever. And they get to the bottom and they reload their guns.
Yeah. And then her hand is fucked up, I guess, because she didn't wrap it right or something.
Yeah, to slide half a mile down a fucking elevator shaft.
Don't try that at home.
Yeah, don't try. If you see a half a mile long elevator shaft, don't slide down it, guys. So somehow they fucking live anyway. I don't know how.
Yeah, I don't. How did they slow themselves down?
That's what the jacket was for.
70 miles an hour. I thought it was so that they wouldn't burn their hand going.
Well, yeah, slowing down.
What?
They wouldn't burn their hand slowing down because you got to grip it tight while you're falling 70 miles an hour. To slow you down. You don't want that friction.
Well, I just thought it meant. I just thought it was because you know when you were like a kid and you'd play on the. On the play structure, and you would like go down that pole.
If you gripped it too hard,
you would get blisters. I thought that's what it was for. I thought it was for like, just we're not getting blisters today, boys.
Well, that and the slow down.
All right.
How else are they gonna slow down?
I mean, you have slid down more elevator shafts than I have, so I'm gonna take your word for it.
It only makes sense.
It's
the only thing that makes sense.
So okay. So they're at level 9. They see, okay, fuck this scene. All right, so they're walking through, it's like a warehouse, There's like a brick door, a door that is bricked up.
It's like a false door.
And they get to it and the bricks disappear. What's the point of the bricks if they're just going to disappear anytime anybody walks up to them?
Well, wait, first Satan's son walks through these bricks.
Oh, yeah. Satan's son walks through first. Like maybe 10 minutes before Boone and Novak do.
Yeah.
And then Boone and Novak do. And then there's also, like, gas in there, but it's, like, retreating as they walk through it.
Yeah.
It's, like, not attracted to them. So they walk through the door, and we get to meet the five. But before that, we see that Satan's son was, he's, like, strung up, like, kind of, like, crucified.
And gutted. Dismembered.
Gutted, cut in half, dismembered, but his mask is still on. So I guess the five killed Satan's son.
Yeah.
Which is what I was saying. Like, that's kind of funny that that's how he died, because he's like an escape artist.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, should have been able to get out of that. Anyway.
No, because remember, one of the five is like, we did this to him because this is what he asked for.
Oh, I don't remember that. Oh, fuck. What?
Yep.
No way.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's because you were laughing too hard from the elevator scene.
Yeah, I was over it. So then...
Oh, by the way, the five are, like, wearing these Halo...
Yeah.
Like, outfits. Like the video game Halo Master Chief. It's like they have Spartan gear on, almost. They're, like, in these mech suit things.
They're, like, mecha...
No helmets,
alien... cloak... things with, like... energy shapes on their front. So, like, each one has a different shape on them, yeah, made out of energy, and it's, like, different colors.
Like these superpower suits they give these inmates?
Oh, one of the... Okay, so a couple of the five are actually... we've got Michael Berryman is one of them, and so is Bill Moseley. Bill Moseley was Geiger. The main one.
Yeah. A couple of famous name drops there from the horror film genre.
Yeah, a couple of them get to be the five. There is another man in there who... Or a couple other men in there who look familiar, but I don't actually know their... who they were. I didn't look into it. So if you're famous... If they're a famous horror actor, I'm sorry for missing them, but Michael Berryman and Bill Moseley are definitely... two of the five evils. Okay, so Bill Moseley five is talking to them, and they learn, Boone and Novak learn that they are prisoners too, and that they're invincible.
And they have another philosophical discussion.
Yeah.
They're all sitting down there saying, like, this prison, what they're doing is a bad thing, because they want to eradicate evil.
Yeah.
But without evil, there is no good. So what we do in the world...
That's right. I remember this, yeah.
...is for the benefit of humanity, so that there can be good.
Because we need to be evil so that there can be good. So we're evil, but we're also good by creating goodness. Boone is like, I'm confused. And Geiger is like, well... that will tell you. And she looks down and there's like intestines up like snakes. They're like boa constrictors. Yeah. And he's like, the sign will show you. And she's looking into it and it's like in a puddle of blood, and the snakes reveal, the intestine snakes like reveal like some lettering.
Yeah, some weird you can't ancient read. Lettering.
Ancient
characters.
Demonic / alien lettering. Characters, yeah. And she's like, I get it now. And then Sieg walks in.
I get it now.
Sieg walks in, and he's like, guys, I'm invincible too. Yeah. So, like...
I did everything that you guys did.
So can now. I be part of you?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay.
No, dude.
And they...
no, you fucking nerd.
They, yeah. And then they... So they release the gas.
Mm-hmm, to kill everybody.
It kills everybody.
And you see
It, like, burns Sieg alive.
Yeah, he, like, blows up almost.
Yeah, he, like, turns into magma and blows up.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so it kills everybody, and then Boone and Novak leave?
Yeah, they're at the, they're alive, and the five are alive. And that's it. Out of the rest of the whole prison, everybody fucking died.
They
are magically at the top of the prison.
Yeah, they are.
I don't even know if power kicked back on or anything. They're just at the top. They open the door. They're outside. It's sunny. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. And then they're like, we gotta find him.
Who?
Who, exactly. Sieg is dead.
Yeah. Maybe they're talking about Tony Todd from the beginning of the movie. The guy who brought the girl, put her in a van. Talking about going to the farm.
Yeah, everybody likes going to the farm. So, but they never even discussed that.
No, they don't. And then,
so who the fuck are they going to go find?
Okay, but then also Novak, Boone is kind of like, so what are we? And Novak's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, like, are we good or evil? Like, what are we doing? He's like, let's go find out. And you, like, the acting is so bad that we gotta find him.
Find him!
And then, like, they see these helicopters coming in toward the facility. And we shoot back to Tony Todd from the beginning of the movie. And he sees the helicopters and he's like, yeah, those old helicopters. Well, something's going on. And then he goes over to his van, and there's a girl in it. He's like, hey, little miss, what's your name? And she says, Lindsay? I don't remember. Lindsay? I think it is Lindsay, actually. Linz? And he's like, well, Linz, welcome to the farm. And he closes the doors on her. The back of the van says, caution, radioactive. And it's the end of the movie. What happened? Wait, what? Did any of that make sense?
If you guys felt like this was a muddied podcast and we were talking all over the place, that's because that's how the movie felt.
Yeah, it's not because we watched it a week ago. It's literally because this movie doesn't give you anything. Maybe we do need to watch it again. I don't want to, though.
But we're done, and I'm not going to watch it again.
No. Well, there is a tribute to Gunnar Hansen. It says, rest in peace, Gunnar Hansen, which is real nice.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away in 2015. So there's that. Okay. So what was this?
Would you recommend?
Well, let me give it a rating first.
Okay.
I'm going to rate this. Okay. I'm going to give it a C-. Because it's an interesting story. I would say it's bad execution.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it probably should have had a different director. I'm sorry. Don't come at me. But I did like the fact that there was all those actors in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the acting was iffy, but it's all right. So I'd give it a C-. Give it a C-. Was it scary? Again, conceptually, yeah, totally scary. That'd be terrifying.
Yeah, reading the description of this film, I was excited.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
A high security, maximum security prison that's set up like Dante's Inferno? That sounds scary.
Yeah, but you don't even get to see anything that has to do with Dante's Inferno.
Except, right? I guess the cannibalism.
That's
Five have nothing to do with Dante's Inferno, do they?
I don't know.
Maybe they do, and we don't know.
We just don't know. But anyway.
What would you rate it?
I would rate it, I'd give the concept of the film an A.
Yeah.
I would give the execution an F.
Okay. I'm with you there, and I think that's why I gave it a C average.
I'm just going to go with a D.
A D. Okay. So, should you guys watch this? No.
I don't recommend it. Unless you want to see pointless titties. But then that's what the internet's for.
If you like titties, well, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Just go to Pornhub if you want to see titties.
Not a sponsor.
No, but yeah, don't waste your time on this movie. If you want to watch a bunch of horror movie actors act again together, then you could. But otherwise, it's really not right your time. It's really not.
They're just like 30-second cameos here or there.
Except for Dee Wallace, who's Dr. Fletcher. That's it, though. I believe everybody else is mostly a cameo. Yeah, because Sid Haig never came back.
Yeah. Danny
Trejo's done.
Done.
Tony Todd's in the beginning and the end of the movie for about 2 minutes. Adrian Barbeau from The Fog, she's the voiceover of the VR headset.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah, it's pretty much super short cameos. Would it have been better with Robert Englund?
No. I think he...
Maybe it was better that he wasn't in the movie.
I think he
movie.
Saved he dodged face a bullet. By not being in it. He dodged a bullet, that's for sure.
Okay, so if you liked that one, you can listen to our other ones too.
Yeah.
Next week we are going to watch... Did we decide?
Yeah, we're going to watch The Influence.
Oh, The Influence. I don't know what it's about, but it's on Netflix.
Yes.
Check it out.
If you would like to watch it and then listen to us trash it, great. If you don't want to bother to watch it at all, that's perfectly fine. Because you probably don't need to, because it's probably crap.
It's, yeah, not worth your time.
Or it might be. We'll decide.
Ooh, yeah, we'll figure it out for you so that you don't have to.
Yeah.
But it is the spooky time, so maybe you should watch it.
Why not?
You're going to watch a horror movie anyway, aren't you? All right. So if you like that podcast, you can find us on Instagram at Scarcely Scary, Twitter, Scarcely Scary, Reddit, Scarcely Scary Podcast. You can also listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're there. Leave us a comment if you want. If you want to give us some criticism or some constructive criticism, or you want to tell us that we suck, you can reach out to us at scarcelyscary@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We will reply to you because we have nothing better to do with our lives.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Tune in next week. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
COVID Halloween. What's up? What are you doing? Nothing? Me too.
Yay.
All right. So that is it for us
for
this week.
Yep, thank goodness.
But before we go, remember, please, 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 please remember to preserve your ammo when you're falling down an elevator shaft.
Yes.
I know it's tempting. Keep it in your pants.
Keep it in your damn pants.
All right, bye.
All right, thank you. Bye.